Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from his Holy Spirit working by the power of his mighty word. Amen. The word of the Lord for us throughout this season of Lent is going to take us to the gifts of God that help us see, know, receive, and be blessed by the gospel. I'm privileged to speak about God's word, the way that God speaks to us so that we might know him and so that his spirit might change us to be like him who is our Savior. Our text for tonight comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from verses 12 and 13. Walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Thus far, God's word. In this 500th year of the Reformation, we're taking a look at some of the writings that go way back. The founding of the Lutheran Church. For the truth is, the Reformation of the history is bigger than the church itself. It affected all of the world, its governments, its universities, and its citizens in ways that historians today describe, but in ways which I don't know that we fully understand. It was an age of changing technologies. It was a time of social upheaval, much like today in terms of uncertainties and changing futures. The Reformation began in the church when Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses, but it became a movement that went beyond the church. In fact, you may remember that Martin Luther was considered the second most important man of the last millennium by Time magazine, second to Sir Isaac Newton, another Christian who was also a scientist who sought to understand God's order in the world. And he reported on how God made things to work, especially in terms of laws of motion and laws of gravity. Martin Luther, on the other hand, was a religious cleric who was troubled in his conscience, who sought the true righteousness of God, but was perplexed with what that meant. And while he was at the university, he gave up a promising career in law to become a monk. He went back to the Word of God to seek the truth. God's own answers for life. And he didn't find them all at once, and he didn't find them right away. But he did seek the answers in Scripture, and not just in his mind or in reason. And he learned to live by faith, not by his own works before God. He trusted God's mercy and grace and left us the motto, by Scripture alone, by faith alone, by grace alone. Sadly, it's true that we Christians today seek easy answers. But God gives them out in the same way now as he did back then. It is his word that leads us. So let's think about this. Up until the year 1400, a copy of all the books in the world could have fit into a room smaller than this sanctuary. If you've been even to the library in Alma, it's bigger than this. And so for the written word, this is something spectacular that happens. In Martin Luther's lifetime, that changed. The invention of the printing press made that happen. Johannes Gutenberg made it possible to publish more titles and more books than ever before because books didn't have to be copied manually. one letter at a time or one word at a time. So when Luther posted the 95 Theses onto the church door, the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany, way back in 1517, the word spread fast throughout Europe. No, I know, it wasn't internet fast or texting fast, but for its day and age, it was amazing how far it had traveled. And the truth is, within 7 years of that, rambling of Luther against the sale of indulgences by the Roman Church, he had translated the Hebrew and the Greek Bible into the vernacular for God's people to use. And Bibles didn't need to be chained any longer to walls in university libraries, where only scholars could view these rare and expensive things, usually printed in Latin. It became possible for all who could read to get a copy and read it for themselves. God's word became a word for God's people. They read and they debated about what they read. And now, 500 years later, I don't know what to say except shame on us. Shame on us because we think we don't need to read the Bible. Shame on us because we think we have a right to distort or change the Bible. Shame on us for not trusting these precious promises of God. Shame on us for using the Bible as a club to beat someone else into thinking our own way. The Bible is God's word, and he wants it proclaimed for the sake of the gospel. He wants it read, and he wants it heard, and he wants it trusted as a means of grace, a way for God to bring salvation to us, into the hearts and souls, redeeming our lives from sin, death, and the power of the devil. You know, the problem 500 years ago wasn't faith. It was that faith was put in the wrong place. And so I don't think it's very different now in our day and age. We all believe in something, but where do our hopes ultimately lie? Back then, there were new technologies like the printing press, but they would not purify the heart. There were social reforms, but they didn't remove sin from society, because the peasants' war was one of the ugliest in all of Europe. There were politicians, and there were preachers, but they didn't die to ransom the world to God. There were words being printed and published, but not all of them were God's truth. There has only been one truth, and that truth is Jesus Christ. God sent him to be punished for sin and to offer him as a sacrifice on a cross at Calvary. His death brings you life. His ability to overcome temptation becomes our pattern. His love becomes our hope. Jesus is not simply a byword in our day and age. He is the Savior of our day and age. He is holy and timeless. He is the Son of God. He is the friend of sinners. He is the judge of hypocrisy and pride. He is the source of goodness and integrity. He is the standard of righteousness, the gift of God for the human condition of iniquity and destruction, which really is a true understanding of the human heart. His word tells us he can change us, that he can and that he will work in us. He teaches a reality that sees the world but sees more than the world sees. He leads us to bear our crosses without shame and to live seeking purity in our hearts and our lives and our thoughts and our deeds. He brings us to deny ourselves and to look beyond us to God, to God's will, to God's ways, and to God's grace. His word brings Christ to us, and by this we know God's peace. You see, the Reformation isn't about the past because it continues today. We also believe God's word bears the gospel, the power of God for life and salvation. We turn to Jesus Christ and we live by faith alone, by grace alone, by scripture alone. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to everlasting life. Amen.